This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Another hour, What's on Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. I'm Scott Hennon, glad to have you along on the program today, brought to you in part by PetroServe USA. They have the best lunches. Home cooking, grab and go, you can't go wrong. Let me tantalize you with today's menu. How about this? Swedish meatballs at the Valley City locations. That sound good? Or lasagna. Your choice. They have two great ones. Exit 292 off I-94. Also, lasagna is the item today. 12th Avenue Fargo location off I-29. And West Main Avenue, West Fargo, lasagna with garlic toast. All lunch specials come with two sides and a bun. And, of course, they're home to the 4-for-4 special, the pizza, the two fresh baked cookies, and the 20-ounce popper coffee. Four items, $4 all day, every day at PetroServe USA. Tell them Scott sent you. All right, we're joined in studio this hour by my partner in this fine endeavor of ours, Flag Family Media, Steve Hallstrom, who also hosts the local morning show for AM 1100, The Flag. And we have a couple of special guests joining us today to talk about an investigation that's just wrapped up into a former Fargo Police Department official, the deputy chief, that has been in the news related to some concerns from some of the Black Lives Matter One Fargo protesters who've been part of one protest that was a Saturday. That was rather notable because of the amount of damage that happened shortly after the George Floyd incident. A lot of the same things there. It started out peaceful, ended up very ugly and confrontational. The following Friday, there was an event coordinated by both City of Fargo and Black Lives Matter and One Fargo officials, the police department, everybody together, and went off perfectly. It was great. It was less a protest and more of just a rally celebration. I think everybody left there thinking, wow, Fargo can be different. And then on Monday, the following Monday, the individuals, through a lot of allegations, called an emergency press conference, alleged that the chief of police, Dave Todd, and Mayor Mahoney were hiding information about this former police leader who had been undercover off duty at the rally, and so made a lot of allegations. This investigation is a result of all that. So hopefully I've recapped everything, and we're joining us in studio to talk about it is the mayor of Fargo, Tim Mahoney, and also the chief of police, David Todd. And, of course, as I mentioned, Steve is here as well. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Glad you're here. So, Steve, you start. So maybe start a little bit on the investigation, huh?
Yeah, so you have just wrapped up this process of trying to figure out what exactly happened. The one thing that people have been asking questions about is what Scott outlined there before. As I read your press release this morning, basically what I came away from that reading is that the big conclusion that was taken from all that is that Chief Todd, you were not in communication with Deputy Chief Osmundson at that time. There had been allegations that you two were coordinating all day long, and the results of this investigation say that that was not the case. You said that all along. Anything about this report and the findings surprise you from what you heard as this came through?
No, it was nice to. I didn't get to actually read the report until last night, and that was after the mayor had received it. I've intentionally removed myself from this whole process because I recognize that I'm under some scrutiny, and I shouldn't be a part of that investigation. And so, I read the report. I think it accurately depicts what was happening, the chaos and how fast paced that night was in trying to keep up with what was going on and get resources in from other departments and direct those resources out and kind of trying to put your ground game together, and sometimes trying to catch up to what was happening and how chaotic and fast-paced that was. So I think the report accurately reflected that.
And so you had intel from people that were marching and observing throughout the course of the day on that Saturday, but Deputy Chief Osmundson was not part of that plan.
Deputy Chief Osmundson was not part of that plan. Into the evening, once things started to get really intense and the riot was happening, he did send me some texts. I didn't know what capacity he was operating in. I know that he likes to hang out downtown. That's his passion. So I didn't know if he was just walking around downtown observing what was happening. He had left earlier in the day without saying anything to me or the other deputy chiefs, and I had assumed that he went home and really didn't understand what he was doing. No.
What I especially liked, Steve, about Aberle's report is it's very transparent and tells you what's going on. And I think if you've ever been in incident command, we don't have too many riots in Fargo, but it's very intense and a lot of things are going on. And I sat in the back of the room, but Chief Todd was constantly working with all his different team members trying to figure out what we're going to do and what the next move is going to be. I can tell you it was pretty intense because we were trying to see what was happening with what we started as a peaceful demonstration and migrated into a riot. So it was one of those things that when people sit there and go, oh, you're just sitting doing text and doing, you really don't have time to do that. And he has to coordinate all the different events with all the different parties that were involved. We had a lot of other people come in and help us during that particular evening. So it's kind of with a floodlight when you're doing something, the guy center is in charge. He's just focused on what he's supposed to focus on.
Okay, so our time is short. I want to pivot to a bigger conversation of the discussions between the city and the two groups. One, Fargo and Black Lives Matter. They are two separate groups, although some of the same people have been fronting, if you will, for both. So it's been a little hard to figure that out. You two gentlemen contacted us and said, we want to come and tell our perspective, share our story. So, Mayor Mahoney, I'll start with you. What do you want to say to the people about the conversations? Because it's being painted now that you're being uncooperative toward them.
The last meeting I had with them was a hostile meeting in which they walked in and gave me my Miranda rights and started telling me what their demands were, and this is what was going to happen.
They read you Miranda rights, like for real?
Yep. And what we did is we said, we'd still like to meet, we still want to have dialogue, and they said, we're going to not come to seat at a table, we're going to protest our way through this.
And this is one Fargo or Black Lives Matter or both?
One Fargo was with Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
So that there was three people at that time. And that's one of the problems we have is different people migrate to different areas. So who's the leadership? But we've reached out, had numerous calls. To Rochelle is the lady that was giving me texts as she was a commissioner candidate and saying, you know, should we meet? And then I was given this, if you don't write a letter of recommendation for Simon, we're not coming in. So I'm more than happy to meet with anybody who wants to meet with me. And as you both know, you just call city offices and we set it up. I did have texts with Wes just saying that what time works best for you. And he gave me his work issues of what we could do. So we were trying to set up a meeting that week. When they came in that morning and were in that kind of mood, Chief and I are both disappointed because we wanted to move on to dialogue. And that's the last I heard. The particular item that he's pulled out here is a document that says Statement of Intent. We had circulated that Thursday night before the Friday event, but I had not circulated with the other two mayors, and I wasn't going to change what was happening. I was intending on meeting them the next week and going over it. Because in dialogue, what we try to do is have the other parties say, what's important to you? What would you like in this document? Apparently, they like the document. Fargo 1 likes the document and want me to sign it. I'm going to circulate it with the other two mayors and see if it's something they would do as well.
You talk about Simon. This is a young man who plays football at MSU Moorhead, is in the program, upstanding member of the football team, and he has become something of a pivotal figure in this. And when you say Simon, he was one who was arrested for, I believe, four different counts on that evening of the rioting, and you have testimony from officers saying that seeing him throwing rocks at police officers, and because of that, he was charged. So when they came in, we had not heard this part of the story before, Mr. Mayor, that they said if you don't write a letter of recommendation, what did they want you to write a letter of recommendation about, considering that there were already charges against him?
Well, as we all know, when you write a letter of recommendation, I would like to meet Simon. Maybe he can come in to talk to me. I might do something to try to help him in his court case and say, you know, he has been a good citizen doing good things. But to demand a letter of recommendation, I haven't even met the gentleman. I feel that's unfair, and I just don't think that's something you would do. Can I help when he goes to court in front of the judge and be a friend of him? I don't know, because I don't know what he did. I believe he threw rocks at policemen. I don't think that's something he has to face up and do the justice system. The justice system will prevail.
Do you think there is something we're not seeing here going on? In other words, I'll ask you first, Chief Todd. Are the shots being called from somewhere else? It seems like they're kind of all over the map here in their discussions.
Well, The week leading up to the One Fargo event, we had a good meeting. It started off a little bit rocky on Wednesday, but we ended up in a good place and kind of a path to move forward on. And then that Thursday, the next morning, I had the One Fargo group in my station, and I committed a dozen people to work with them on this Friday event to try to help them make it successful, which is our community engagement team. They worked really hard on that, and it was, as you guys know, it was a successful event. Monday morning, asked for an emergency meeting with me and the mayor and I, and we of course were willing to take that meeting on very short notice. And as the mayor said, how that meeting started out, and it just degenerated, and there was no willingness to have a positive dialogue on how we move forward at that point. And so we have continuously reached out through our people to try to get more dialogue going, and that's what we're interested in.
All right, I want to get Mayor Mahoney's take on that as well when we come back, and we'll continue on What's on Your Mind. Stephen Fargo, question for our guests. Others, welcome. 271-1100, 800-228-0550. More after this.
Ethanol brings energy and agriculture together. We're chatting with Brian Markegaard today, process engineer for Dakota Spirit, part of the Midwest Ag Energy family. In spirit way, what if ethanol went away? What would that mean for corn farmers? What does that mean for North Dakota?
There's about 40 employees here at the plant, right around 40. So those jobs would be gone, and they're very good paying jobs. So those positions would be gone from the community, which we saw with Cargill moving out, the number of jobs that left the community. And then just from the ability to process that corn right here makes a big impact, again, with the farm community, which in this part of the world supports the local community through buying equipment and all the other things that farmers are spending money on as well. And then the trickle effect of all that money in the community is huge.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
Our region has a deep tradition of supporting conservation, where we're taught to leave a place better off than we found it. We know that our land, our air, and our water are precious resources, which is why the coal industry has been nationally recognized for preserving, protecting, and enhancing our land by reclaiming more than 20,000 acres once mining is finished. That land is used to hunt, fish, and feed the world. That same resourcefulness that's used to reclaim land is now being put to use to capture non-toxic emissions, including carbon dioxide from power plants. Researchers at the University of North Dakota are working to explore geology to store the carbon dioxide safely deep underground, where it will stay permanently. This next generation technology will not only enhance our nation-leading clean air standards, but protect 15,000 good-paying jobs by using homegrown energy resources. Learn more at www.secureenergyfuture.org/CCUS.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Despite all the uncertainty in our world today. North Dakota's oil and natural gas industry wants you to know they'll be back better than ever. Committed to using the talent here, the resources here wisely to build a strong, sustainable future for our family, friends, and neighbors. And together, keep North Dakota a great place to live, work, and raise a family. Find out more at ndoilfoundation.org. ndoilfoundation.org. 20 past the hour, and we're back. The question before the break for Mayor Mahoney and also Chief Todd was a question about related to who are we dealing with. Are the local folks having some say here? Is there outside sway on that? Mayor Mahoney, what's your take on that? It seems to me somebody somewhere else is pulling the strings, because it's almost like they go from this good to bad to good to bad to kind of can't decide how they want to play this. Do you think somebody else is calling the shots?
We're concerned there's some outside influence, because some of the things and demands of the way are scripted or written don't reflect what's going on in the city of Fargo. So it's obvious that somebody's writing this for all police departments. It isn't our police department. Demands that are made don't seem to be specific for the issues we have. For instance, we have a community relations commission. Human relations commission is one which, if you had any complaints about police brutality or police doing something wrong, you can take it to them. They hear it. It brings it to the commission. We have methods and ways in which people could bring things forth.
But those don't necessarily end up in the front page of we don't have a front page of a newspaper anymore. But, they are news, right? They aren't blasted on the Need to Know Morning Show or anywhere else. So
sometimes when we get those, when people do that, and I'll get emails from people that want me to take 8 principles. And the difference in this community versus other community, we like dialogue. We'd like to have dialogue with our police, with our community, with our people in the community. What do you guys want? What do you want to see?
Yeah.
So when somebody says defund the police, we're very happy with our police department. We think they do a fantastic job. People feel safe. But let everybody understand that the police force takes almost 280 calls a day. So if you're going to get rid of that, you're going to have to replace it with something. And to me, we've done a lot of the good things in social programs. We've done a lot of things with young children. We are a progressive police department, and Chief Todd has done an excellent job of doing that. So people understand. We understand many things, the needs of the community. We reach out. We listen. We want to hear what people want. We view this as an excellent time to reopen dialogue. Let's talk about what you want.
But do they want that? Is my question. Chief Todd, do you think they want that? I mean, I thought they did that Friday in Island Park, but I'm not so sure anymore. When I see Monday, they're reading the mayor the Miranda rights, for crying out loud.
Well, I agree with the mayor in many respects that the dialogue shifted from Friday, where we had an opportunity to move forward addressing local issues and what we could do here, and then the next week seemed to be more of a national dialogue and trying to fit that onto Fargo. What's unique about Fargo is the last 5.5 years. The police department has instituted so many different programs that reach out to our minority communities, and especially our youth, in order to build relationships with them, mentor, coach them, provide positive adult role models in their life. I mean, it's like a dozen different programs that we've started, and summer camps, and outdoor living skills, and swimming lessons for new Americans, and it goes on and on and on. And there doesn't seem to be an acknowledgement at all of what we're doing. It just seems to be more of this is what the national dialogue is, and we're not going to look at how we can have a local solution.
That's tough. That's tough to deal with, because you're bringing what they're asking for. You're trying to get a dialogue going. It doesn't seem like they want it. So where does that leave you guys?
But I think we can get it back. I don't think it's irrecoverable. I think that if emotions can calm down a little bit, and then we can sit back down and let's, instead of just the protest marches, which, hey, your right to assemble, your right to free speech, but there has to be solution at some point, and that's where we need to move towards.
Steve in Fargo has a question for for our guests on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, hey, no, I really appreciate what you guys are doing for the city, and your patience is very admirable. I would be, beside myself in this. I can't understand how people think that there is some expectation that if you're protesting, quote, peaceably, and people start throwing rocks at police officers and burning buildings, all of which are felonies, that you should just hang out. If that happens, if you are too ignorant to understand that you're probably going to start getting into situations that will put you in jail by continuing to stand with people that are doing those things. You're not very bright. I lived out in Washington, D.C. in the 80s, and, you know, there was all kinds of stuff going on out there. And the Capitol Hill police or whatever, they let people protest to a certain point, and they had barriers, but they had security concerns. And when it came to a certain point, they would simply announce, if you continue to do this, you will be arrested. And they would arrest hundreds of people. And, of course, some people wanted to be arrested to, quote, protest. But if you're too ignorant to understand that once rocks start going, being thrown and fires get set, if you don't go home, you're probably going to end up in jail. That just seems pretty simple to me, regardless of skin color or anything else. I don't understand why they think these are so peaceful.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I'd like the opportunity to maybe address that a little bit, and I think we're dealing with two different sets of people here. We have people that want to peacefully protest and voice their concerns, which we completely support, and then we have a group of people that are kind of bent on destruction and creating distrust and discord and maybe even trying to hurt people at times.
Forwarding this national narrative that we're hearing. Right?
Well, and unfortunately, you know, I in an email earlier, right after the protest to other police chiefs and sheriffs, where I thanked them for coming to help me. In the emotion of the moment, I use the word thugs and domestic terrorists. And what I was referring to is the people are throwing rocks and bricks at our people, breaking into businesses and looting them and breaking out windows and spray painting buildings. You know, these are my people that were getting hurt. This was my community that I grew up that was in that was being destroyed. And in my emotion, I use some words that, you know, if I could take another couple of days and get past that, I probably wouldn't have used. But that's what I was referring to. But again, I think we're dealing with two different groups of people here, people that want to peacefully have discussion and dialogue and people that are not interested in that.
There are two marches planned for this weekend, one on Friday, one on Saturday. I'll ask both of you, are you worried? There seems to be a tension going into these that we did not have before. Mayor, start with you.
Well, it's just the ability to control the crowd. You have to understand that if you anticipate you're going to do a peaceful demonstration, then let's hope all the members that come to that demonstration agree with you. And so the Fargo one wants to come to City Hall. What do you want to do at City Hall? And, you know, when you tell you, well, city leaders are there, my commissioners are rarely in City Hall. So why don't we pick a date in which you want to sign a letter of intent? We can do that in front of the public. All the press can be there. We can invite them. I don't always understand what's the point of the march. We are aware that George Floyd died. We are aware that Black Lives Matter. So let's now get into constructive dialogue of how we can improve things. Everybody, anybody who wants to come, let's come to the table and sit down and say, what can we make this community better? If we have institutional racism, let's attack that. If we have different things that we need to do in our hiring practices, who we put on the boards, let's look at that. Clearly, try to get a different dialogue. I'm concerned when you put 600, 800 people together that you can't always control the outcome.
We'll get the answer from Chief Todd on the other side of the break. I've been told these gentlemen can...
They need to leave. Yep.
They don't, actually. We got word during the break.
I'm sorry. Okay. Just into the newsroom. Okay.
So they're going to stay a little bit longer, and we'll have Mayor Jonathan Judd join us as well. So stay tuned. That's coming up on What's On Your Mind.
Tioga, a place to grow, a place rooted in small town values and budding with big ideas, a place with a hearty work ethic and energy that shows. Enjoy our new community center, outdoor pool, park and rec activities, thriving schools, state-of-the-art clinic, the nicest general aviation airport in the state, and a vibrant Main Street where opportunity abounds. Tioga is fertile ground to grow your family, grow your business, grow your career, grow your garden, grow your faith and your community. It's a place to call home, where everybody knows your name, where people still smile and wave. Whether you're passing through or seeking a destination, pop in for a visit. You might just decide to plant new roots. Welcome to Tioga. Come grow with us. Visit the Tioga Chamber of Commerce at tiogand.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. Yesterday, 9 states set records for coronavirus infections since the pandemic began, hitting one-day highs or new 7-day averages for confirmed cases. Spikes in cases striking Alabama, Arizona, Florida, Nevada, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Carolina, and Texas. Meanwhile, it was the same day that Vice President Mike Pence was talking about fears of a second wave of infections being overblown.
Every state in this country and nearly 3/4 of America's small businesses have already begun to reopen.
A lawsuit that was filed Monday calling for CDC coronavirus guidelines to be required during Saturday's Trump rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, has been denied by a judge. And this is USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Bow your head, take off your hat, about to say the blessing. Treat her like a lady, better get her home by 11.
What's on your mind? Brought to you part today by Hot Springs Spas and Pool Tables 2, Fargo location, Bismarck location, Minot location, Grand Forks location, and of course online anytime. You call them today and say, hey, tell me more about the splash pool. I want to know about this splash pool. What's the deal? This is the fastest selling pool product out there right now, and the financing on them is absolutely incredible. It is low hassle. It really is. They'll have it in no time. So still a lot of summer left. Maybe take advantage of that. Hot Springs Spas and Pool Tables 2. Talk to Vince and the crew there. They'll take good care of you. Back on What's on Your Mind, Steve Halsom, you had a question for Mayor Mahoney that we also needed to get the answer from Chief Todd. And then we also have Mayor Judd joining us here shortly.
Yeah, so Chief Todd wanted to ask you. The mayor says he's the optimist of the group and he's expecting good things. You're paid to worry a little bit more. Are you worried about Friday and Saturday with the tension going into these gatherings that there could be some trouble Friday and Saturday?
Well, my answer really isn't that much different from the mayor, other than you're right. I am paid to worry and to try to analyze the data that's coming in from my folks as to what they're seeing and hearing, and then to prepare for that event. I think what's really important, and it finally happened last night, was the organizers were willing to meet with my people last night and talk about the event. So that's a positive thing. And so if we can continue that dialogue, and help them have an event that's positive, that's a good thing for our community. That's a great thing for our city. But, you know, at the same time, I have to watch the chatter that's happening on all different sides and just try to be prepared for the event as a whole.
They are planning a march from what they have renamed Island Park to Justice Island, and are planning to march down to City Hall. And then the mayor has said he's going to be signing something, and then I guess they go back. So will they have a permit? Will they have a place to sign for any liability for anything that happens?
Well, here's the thing. We will facilitate any type of march or walk on the sidewalks. But if you are going to walk in the street and obstruct traffic, you're required to have a permit to do that, and it goes through a number of city departments so we can stage barricades, so we can have people for traffic issues, and control some of that. And that hasn't happened. So right now I would say, okay, have your march, but it needs to stay to the sidewalks, and we'll help facilitate that. And also, you know, if you're going to walk on the street, that's a parade. So you also have to have liability insurance. So that's what I would say
if they're planning on marketing on the street, well, that's something you should have arranged quite some time ago.
And, Mayor, you told us as well that you're planning some extraordinary measures because of the concerns there related to firearms. Tell us what you're planning there.
Well, it's just the mayor can declare emergency declaration, and we do that. We can do curfew. We can do things to say nobody can have guns on the streets and things that help make things or facilitate things so they stay peaceful. And we don't want any type of issue in the community, so we'll do the measures that we have to do to help people calm. And that's probably what we're going to put out there to people. So let's have a peaceful demonstration. You know, One Fargo has stated that that's what it's going to be, and I truly want that to happen.
So, in other words, under that declaration, no one could have a gun, a protester or somebody that's just not even involved with the protest, just happens to be walking down the street?
When you put the declaration out, you say nobody can carry a gun publicly, yes.
And that's for the entire city?
That's for the entire city, so.
All right. And you did that partially because you had some intel that some people were planning to take matters into their own hands, is that right?
Well, on social media, you see chatter, and I think Chief Todd talks about that. We watch the chatter that goes on social media, try to see what's coming about, and we were disturbed by a couple of the posts that people put out there, so we really would not like to have any guns in the crowd.
Let's add in Mayor Jonathan Judd here from Moorhead. We had a planned conversation with the mayor just as a little bit of a follow-up and also to talk about some of these calls for police reform that I'd love to hear the thoughts of Mayor Mahoney a little more and Chief Todd on as well. Mayor Judd, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
So you, as I guess we have an audience all across North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota right now, but I want folks to know that that Fargo, West Fargo, Moorhead, and the mayors really are one team. They're really pretty amazing, especially when it comes to events like this. I saw that firsthand with the rally celebration in Island Park previously, and that certainly has bode well. It looks like some of that is fraying a little bit. We talked about that with Mayor Mahoney and Police Chief Todd here today. Although the chief tells us there was another meeting, at least planning on, to work on the planning of the protest. From your standpoint, do you see this relationship or this dialogue fraying?
You know, I don't know, Scott, if I have, you know, really a lot of information, to even make a assessment on that, because I have not talked to the organizers since the last peaceful celebration in Island Park. So, I really don't have a lot of information. I've had discussions with Mayor Mahoney, but, I just don't know if I'm at a point where I can even, answer the question.
Is the, from Chief Todd, Mayor Mahoney, from your perspective, is the weekend events, other than, I guess, you're signing something you said, Mayor, similar was sort of come listen to us, right? They're on stage, and there was some comments made from each of the mayors, but is it a different approach this time? Is there not, Mayor Judd saying, I don't know anything about it, so are they not wanting to hear from you, or what do you know about it?
Well, like I said, last night is the first opportunity that my folks had to meet with them, and so I haven't even had, they just said that the dialogue went well, and I have to wait till I get the chance to get back to the station to find out what the plan is for the whole event.
Right.
It took, the event on Friday that we had with the group took a lot of time and hours. Our media team worked with them. We had sound systems. We had our Nicole Crutchfield worked with them. We had a lot of people work on that event to make it come out successfully. And what we're hoping is they'll work with us for what they want to do, because if I'm not there to sign something, what do you like coming to City Hall? So you got to coordinate some of those efforts so that whatever net effect they want to get out of that day, we can try to see what we can do.
What are you signing? This letter of intent, the thing you're circulating to the other mayors, or what is it you'll sign?
Letter intent was we wanted to have more from the group. Let's get an idea that we need to move forward and have a commitment on both parties. We have to have a commitment from you to work with us, and we have to be committed to it as well. And we asked the mayors, I just gave Mayor Judd a snapshot of that today. He's looking at it today, but it's just to look at things of what we're committed to. And actually, I have to thank Mayor Judd, because one of the things he said is we need to do more than just, we need to make a commitment. And all parties need to make that commitment to do something that's meaningful in the future. And I don't know if, Jonathan, you want to go on to that, but that was one of the messages you gave that day we talked.
Mayor Judd, anything you want to say about the proposal that is being circulated right now among the mayors to sign and to communicate a stated position from the cities on these issues?
Well, you know, again, I think what the organizers need to understand is that, you know, I mean, there is a process, and if we're able to come and sit down to talk about what that process looks like, you know, I'm all ears. But I mean, the situation is this: I cannot sign any type of, I guess, agreements, if you will, without talking with my council and with the city manager. You know, and that's really what, you know, the process is. I mean, again, you know, people have to understand we're, even though we're all in this together as far as a team and promoting equity and inclusion and diversity throughout our region, we still have processes in place that we have to go through in order to manifest, you know, this conversation to get the desired outcomes. And part of the process that I have to do is I have to go back, meet with our council, probably get some guidance from our Human Rights Commission, and then we have to go through the city manager because, again, you know, in Moorhead, we handle the policy aspects of how we implement operations, and there's the operations side, which is guided by our city manager. So if there are any takeaways or action items, they're going to come from our staff. And so, you know, it's not just a show up, sign this document. There has to be dialogue. There has to be, you know, some element of having a conversation so that we're just not signing a document that may be meaningless. I mean, if you want to have true, concrete action steps, you have to outline and be clear of what those desired outcomes are going to be. So we're not coming back later and saying, well, you didn't follow through on A, B, C, and D.
Yeah, good point.
It just makes sense.
And to get to that point, things take some time. Kevin and Cavalier, a question for our guests. Go ahead. You're on What's on Your Mind, Kevin.
Yeah, I've been talking. I've got a nephew's a police officer in Grand Forks, and he said he would like to see some leadership, probably more so on the national level, people standing up for the cops. He said morale is really, you know, it's tough to be a police officer. And I'd like to see that come about. And I think we should start the Change the Letter campaign, which is the protest signs say defund the police. Cross out the U, put the letter E, becomes defend police and make them yard signs.
There you go. I like that. I like that, Kevin. Thank you very much. Would Kevin's comment about his nephew be a fair assessment of how you think your team is?
This is a difficult time for police because there are so many amazing men and women in our police organization that they're only hearing the negative right now. And that's not fair to them because they joined our department and became police officers because they wanted nothing more than to serve their community. And a lot of them, I've hired about over 120 people in the time I've been as chief. A lot of them came to this department because of the special programming that we started and the relationship and engagement that we had with our community. And that's what that attracted them to our department. Now, if you have good people in any job that don't feel appreciated or aren't feeling encouraged, they tend to think, well, maybe I should do something else. And that's what we have to remember as leadership, both the mayor and I, that we have to constantly say to our folks, I appreciate you. You're doing a good job, because they are. We have to be accountable if we do something wrong, and we want to be, because that's part of being a professional organization. And so, yeah, what he says resonates, but I think there's things that we can do.
A few seconds before the break, Mayor Mahoney, do we need police reform?
I think we need to have just continue looking at our police and what we do, because I think in our community we have a great team and we're doing a great job.
National push for that on right now, which to me is a little odd in and of itself, that police reform would come from the national level, because the police functions are obviously a city function, right? They're local. That's a little bit strange, but it's politics. I want to ask Mayor Judd the same question. We'll do that when we come back and finish up with our conversation with our guests. Don't go away. More after this on What's on Your Mind.
It's spring again, and that foundation crack, that seeping water, that bowing wall is still there. But it's not too late. At Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North, we've got you covered.
Don't let those problems continue through another spring. Your complete foundation experts are here to help. Call 701-280-7038. That's 7038. Or for a free estimate and to learn more, go to pccnd.com. That's pccnd.com.
North Dakota is building stronger communities by uniting landowners and county officials and supporting more wind power for the prairie. 29 counties are seeing wind energy enhance their schools, roads, and emergency response teams. Landowners support harnessing wind to provide consistent income for 25 years. Together, we can build a better tomorrow with good jobs and stronger communities and keep our electricity rates among the lowest in the country. Paid for by North Dakotans for comprehensive energy solutions.
Hometown cooking. Nothing like it. And you know what? It's waiting for you now at a PetroServe USA location near you. That's right. They're open and serving great grab-and-go homemade food. PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. And great food, like the 4-for-4 special every day, a hot stuff personal pan pizza, two of the best cookies in town, and a 20-ounce drink, yours, for just $4. 4-for-4. Come on in to PetroServe USA.
Jim, the flagpole guy, is here. Just told me a great story about when people call him, how they talk about the flag. The flag is what they're listening to, and the flag is what they want to fly. You've got a great bond with our listeners, don't you?
Oh, sure, Scott. It's not just any flag. It's the flag you represent.
It's standing up for freedom.
That's what makes America great, is freedom of the individual.
Show that you stand up for the American dream by flying that flag. Call Jim, 701-571-FLAG, or online at ndflagpoleguy.com.
And thank you.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
What's on your mind? Powered by Schwann Buick GMC. Overstocked with a huge special purchase of off-lease GM program cars, sport utilities, Enclaves, Acadias, Yukons, Malibus, Cruises. Some of those few as 5,000 miles. Payments starting at $199 a month. All with our lifetime warranty. Over 150 pre-owned to choose from. We can trade in your vehicle even if you still owe money on it. If you don't like it, trade it. Schwann Buick GMC, where your warranty lasts a lifetime. Check it out at schwannbuickgmc.com.
back on What's on Your Mind. John in Fargo, Darren in Bismarck, Gary in Jamestown want to weigh in here. Same with Rod in Bismarck. We have Mayor Jonathan Judd with us as well from Moorhead, who has been very instrumental in the conversations with One Fargo and Black Lives Matter on the planned protests slash rallies and all of that. Steve Halstrom still here as well, trying to unpack this story. We've been through quite a roller coaster in Fargo, Moorhead over the last number of weeks. Post Memorial Day, so it's a lot to unpack here. There's no question about it. Mayor Judd, if I'm sitting in Beach, North Dakota today, okay, and which seems a world away from Fargo, Moorhead, I'm going to go. Why are you guys coddling these protesters? I mean, they broke a bunch of things they shouldn't have done. Then they had a peaceful protest, and then they read the Miranda rights to your mayor, and now they're planning another protest, and they're not cooperating with you and giving you anything in the way of information related to, insurance things or whatever. What do you say to somebody who says you're coddling these guys? These are activist organizers meaning to disrupt, business and operations in Fargo, Moorhead. Quit coddling them. What would you say?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it coddling. I mean, we've had many aspects, and I'm a history major, you can point to many things in our American history where you have had activists throughout our country that has enhanced the foundational component of the fundamental rights of our country. It just looks different than maybe what it has been historically, but I also would argue that there are similarities. I don't think that this is what we're doing is coddling. It's called having a conversation. And the dynamics of that conversation just look a little bit differently than what it has been historically in our country. And so,
can we agree that the conversation does not include broken windows and bricks?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. There is no. I denounce any effort to have a conversation where it compromises civility and compromises public safety. I denounce that.
And the dialogue has helped calm those waters a little bit. I get the impression that some of the organizers of One Fargo and Black Lives Matter are taking their cues from the national level. And sort of as soon as you get along, then they want something for TV or social media. Why in the world would they read the Miranda rights to the mayor of Fargo? It seems crazy.
I have no idea. I don't know. I got nothing on that one. Yeah. I'm not sure.
I hear you. Let's see. Let's take a couple of calls. Oh, I wanted to ask you about police reform, and then I'll get to the calls. Does Moorhead need police reform? Does police departments in this world, part of the world, need police reform?
Well, it's a much longer answer, but here's the short version. I'm against any whatever this term, defunding the police. And so, I'm against it. We need police in the city of Moorhead, period. Now, when people talk about reform, my response back will be, well, what does this reform of what you're looking at, what does this look like? Does, first of all, you can't have reform, period, unless you interpret what the specific issues are that need to be reformed, right? So in talking with our Human Rights Commission, we have found that the problems, generally speaking, that exist with our department are more along the lines of that we need to be better in our community policing and communicating with making contact with people from historically disadvantaged communities, but also just people in general. We need to be better about doing that. So, I mean, as far as this word reform, I would just be careful to have people, when you start throwing terms like defunding and reform, that you're conscientious, do your education, do your research about what the problems are, and then work towards that instead of just throwing the terms out and not having an actual strategic plan to address them.
Yeah, Mayor Judd, Steve Halstrom here. I've got to ask you a question. As a black man who's a leader in our community, the aggressive, I want to push for change, I want to have demands and not conversation, what percent of the black community in the metro area do you think they speak for? Is it 5%, 10%, 75%? What would you guess?
Steve, I can't go there because that would probably say that me as a black man represents, my answer represents everybody. So, I mean, I don't think that that's fair for me to engage in an answer or merely speculate about what percentage of folks feel that way, because I know a lot of, obviously, African-Americans in the community, and there's a diversity of opinion, so I don't know if I should, you know, go there.
Let me squeeze in one call at least before we lose the time here today. Darren and Bismarck, go ahead, Darren.
Yeah, I guess my question is, I heard the Fargo mayor mention basically banning guns from the city of Fargo. Where does he have the right to basically take away the Second Amendment rights from the citizens of the state of North Dakota for that city?
That's an interesting legal question, because you'd have emergency powers. Right? But can they supersede that? Somebody should ask that question of a court, maybe. I don't know. I was disappointed to hear the mayor's plan to do that. But we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Got to go. Thank you all. God bless.
It looks like the summer of 2020 might be just a bit different than we thought, right? Well, head on in to see Vince at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too, to make something better out of it. Every day made better, like Hot Spring Spas. Like all the fun they have, the game tables, and guess what? The saunas. More and more research out about saunas and how healthy they are for you. Kill everything bad. Get in that sauna. Just clear your head. And you know what? With everything canceled this year, what a perfect summer to own your very own splash super pool. It's made in the USA. It's very easy to own. You'll have it for many years to come. The best swimming pool made. Sets up in less than an hour. Your very own swimming pool can be yours for as little as $90 a month, or take advantage of 12 months, no interest, no payments. Take one home today. Swim tomorrow. Make your home the place to be this summer. With a splash pool from Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2 in Fargo, Bismarck, and Grand Forks. Online at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2. Tell them Scott sent you.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines, and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount, and then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product, and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in
dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.